As always, Steve, appreciate it. Thanks very much for having me.
All right, and the verdict, there's a lot to get you to the last play.
Yeah.
We'll get to that in a moment. In or out?
Oh, boy. I'm going to say out. I'm going to say out by a hair's breadth. I think I heard Bob Flounders, actually, of Penn Live, made an interesting point. He might have, you know, Michael Penix might have even been shorter of the marker of the pylon had he not switched the ball to his right hand from his left.
That's right.
I'm going to say out, but also inconclusive on replay. I don't know. I don't see it. I mean, in real time, that's an extremely difficult play to call. And then in replay, I didn't see anything that was conclusive that would have turned it. And, you know, flipping it, had it been called a touch or out of bounds on the field, I don't think it could have been overturned either.
I thought live out. I thought replay out. But if it had been ruled out, they would have said Stanza's called, not confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
Just like they said Stanza's called, not confirmed on this. I think that was going to be the fallback no matter what.
I agree.
All right. So now how do you get to this point? I'd said earlier in the show that 10 penalties for 100 yards is atypical of a James Franklin coach team. 3 turnovers is atypical. 2 missed field goals.
And the combination has never happened under James Franklin. The 10 and 3 has never happened.
Yeah, never happened.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the definition of atypical, plus the 2 missed field goals.
Right.
You win one of the 3, I think they win the game. I mean, that's a lot of mistakes, though, to make up for.
I did a stat. There's a database, sportsreference.com, that, you know, keeps numbers of college football games going. I think going back 20 years. I just did this today. Looked up, Penn State games in which they totaled 450 yards of offense or more, and they allowed 250 yards of offense or fewer. They're 27-1 in those games, dating back to 2000, with Indiana obviously being the one. So that's just such a rare occurrence that you need forces to align against you, essentially, and you need the mistakes to align against you as well. And I think 10-3 and 2 are the big ones right there. I don't know, that, and then just a mental error on a player's part late in the game. All of that, you swirl all of that together, and you can lose a game against a team that didn't play much better than you for three quarters, and nearly the fourth, and then on the final series, Michael Penix, he turns into JT Barrett. What are you supposed to do in that situation? He was phenomenal. His receivers were phenomenal. He won 8 for 9, I think, completed 7 in a row. Everything, just that the whole sequence leading to that finish said everything Penn State, and then these tumbling blocks just kind of fell on top of one another.
Yeah, and absolutely. I want to give Penix credit for a couple things. Number one, whether you think he made it or not, that effort is second to none.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right. And the ball that he threw over and over on the final drive into such tight windows, except for the one to the sideline on Marshall, he threw the ball into tight coverage and still made plays. I give him a lot of credit for that.
With a pass rush in his face. I mean, those last two series that he played, I mean, he got run into the stands, essentially, on third down in the series before. Even after the misguided touchdown, the accidental touchdown, I think I ended up calling it at some point. Even after that, there was nothing that would have led me to believe that Michael Penix, after the previous series, was going to come back and have the headspace to put together a drive after he had just gotten run off the field. He was hit twice, run into the stands. I was surprised because I think I was typing, and I looked up and I said, "Why are they at the 50-yard line? How did that happen?" Right. And obviously there was a penalty and stuff like that, but he just kept. I mean, I don't know if the touchdown that Penn State scored, energized him, that he said, okay, I have one more chance. And he was phenomenal. His receivers were absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, no, they did. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the Ford play, Todd Gurley yesterday tried to stop.
Yeah.
He couldn't stop. Ahmad Bradshaw in the Super Bowl against the Patriots for the Giants couldn't stop. They both tried to stop. Well, so did Devin Ford. He tried to stop, and he couldn't stop. I've said to people, if they actually were at the 19 and not the 14, he could have gotten to the 5-yard line, and he had plenty of room to stop. And all of a sudden, he realized, you could just see he was trying to stop, and he couldn't do it. But they still needed two scores in the end zone to get to overtime. They did it.
Yeah. The two questions I would have about that, I don't question running on first down because you run the game out if you run on first down. I'm taking knees. I don't know about that. I'm in that situation. Maybe I would have just let the ball. I would have had Sean Clifford run. Clearly, it seemed like Indiana wasn't going to play defense on that play, so they were going to let him run. Maybe Sean Clifford is just a bit more poised in that situation. Devin Ford is coming in. He's coming into a game probably that he didn't. I don't know that he would have expected to play a ton in that game necessarily. I don't know the game plan going in if they were going to have a rotation or anything like that. But my presumption going in is they were going to lean on Noah Cain pretty hard, and then he was going to spell and maybe play some. But I don't think he had that anticipation. And then to be in that situation, maybe one, you just give that ball to Sean Clifford. Two, okay, after he scores, do you go for two? I mean, do you get aggressive and say, really try to put that game out of reach by going for two? Do you have a two-point play? Or are you just not – or is your offense at that point feeling almost like taken aback that they go, wait, well, what just happened? And they're confused and – you don't feel like you're in a position to try to go for two. And I didn't even think about that necessarily at that moment because I was just going, what just happened here? And maybe Penn State Silent was doing that too. But those are the two things that I would question about. I don't think running was a bad decision.
Yeah, because, if it's late in the game, you would expect Noah Cain to be the closer.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he wasn't available after the first series. So now you have to overcome that. Fortunately, you're able to do it, at home against, Ohio State.
And I don't know. I had this conversation with somebody else. I wonder if that's not the best possible position that you can be in because you're not allowed to wallow in this. You could do it, but when Sunday, you're not allowed to. This is not a game that you can come in and be hangovery about. This is the opponent that you can't be that way about. So you've got to, whatever term you want to use, flush it away, wash it away, whatever you've got to do. This is the best possible way to do it. And the thing is, you could play as clean and as perfect, as beautiful a game this coming Saturday night against Ohio State and potentially still lose because I think Ohio State's just that good. But knowing that going in, you can't give yourself any room to wallow in that loss anymore. So I think, in a way, not the worst position to be in.
The other part I want to get to is the first half of the game. In the first half of the game, Mark, I've always felt in my experience with the 5.2 billion games I've done now that they're usually, whether it's football or basketball, I usually feel like there are usually three times you can win, and one of them is in the first half. They get that great opening drive, well-conceived, well-executed, 7-0, get a 3-and-out. Then they got another 3-and-out after that. I felt if you get a touchdown, a field goal, a combination of that, and now suddenly you're up 17 or 21-0, you could have put the game away right there.
And instead you had two interceptions on the next three series. And two balls that Sean Clifford, he made no excuses about them. It's just they were terrible passes. Right. Overthrew one, and I think maybe he got caught between throws or ideas on the screen that maybe he didn't think it was at the moment just a good play, and it just it got away from him. But yeah, you had turnovers basically three of the next four possessions. And that's just an incredibly difficult situation to put yourself into. Yeah.
By the way, Mark, what did you think of Kevon Lee?
That was the first time I had seen him at all. I was surprised at the size. I didn't realize he had gotten that big.
Yeah.
I don't know if he had come in that big, but I think he was pretty agile for being 230.
Right.
Move forward. Just he looked polished. He looked unintimidated too. And I thought that was a real pleasant surprise to me, especially if you're going to have to go now with Ford, him, and Keziah Holmes. If Noah Cain's out for a while, that was definitely promising.
Defensively, Luketa cannot play the first half of the game on Saturday night. I had said to Jack after the game, as the targeting call is the absolutely the right call. I mean, that's one of those in the officiating instructional convention. They show that play. Say, okay, here's targeting.
Right.
It's not intentional, but this is targeting. Mm-hmm. But I also felt that on that last series, I kind of felt there was a stabilizing force on that defense that was missing, and I kind of felt that was him.
That's probably a pretty good point, because I got the sense over the course of maybe the last month or so after Micah Parsons opts out that Jesse Luketa had taken it upon himself to be that transitional figure. He's going back to Micah's position. I think he felt like he was stronger and probably a bigger voice on that team, had some experience. It's not like he was an experienced player, played a lot last year, and that probably was part of it. And there, I mean, I didn't realize until looking at the stat sheet that Brandon Smith didn't have a tackle in that game for whatever that means necessarily. But he probably he'll need to get off some blocks and get into some more piles, even if he's just, like I said, helping to finish off a tackle. You're definitely going to need something like that from him in the first half. But secondary, the corners were really good. I mean, those guys, Chester Fields and Zoe Porter Jr., for the most part, had great coverage in that last series.
They did.
Fillier and so on just kept coming down with the ball.
Justin Fields was 20 of 21 Saturday. Now,
right.
I was able to glance at some of it while we were waiting to go on. Did you get a better look at it? What did you think of Ohio State? One thing that we noticed in the first half is Ohio State couldn't run the ball, and then the second half they did.
That was surprising to me. Fields, he's so impressive both ways.
Yes.
That the respect you have to have that he can run, obviously, I think he ended up leading him in rushing too, which Sean Clifford did. But that's an even bigger element there. My presumption that he's going to come out, I don't know that he's not going to be able to throw as well. I'd be surprised if he did, or at least have the numbers. I mean, he could definitely throw the ball as well as he did against Nebraska, but I think those guys are going to be a little bit better defended. That would leave open, I think, him with the running game, and I think Ohio State might be able to run the ball a little better, although Penn State's defensive line really didn't allow Indiana to do much there at all either. That is going to be, for me, can that secondary and especially those corners, can they do it again? Can they do it again against upgraded competition? But still, they played well against I thought they played well against a good offense in Indiana anyway.
Yeah, no doubt. Mark, it is always a pleasure. It's always just fun conversation for me whenever you're on the show.
Definitely.
I appreciate
me too.
It and you very
Thanks
much.
Thanks so much, Steve.